LA County officials, led by Sheriff Lee Baca, announced last week that crime rates in LA County fell more than 4% in 2011, with cities like Compton seeing a 40% reduction in homicides over the last few years. Sheriff Baca credited citywide initiatives like education-based prison programs and improved police networking for the decrease. According to a new report, however, Los Angeles County's youth homicide rate is still the 10th highest in the state when compared to other counties. This and other findings are detailed in the Violence Policy Center's report, Lost Youth, a County-by-County Analysis of 2010 California Homicide Victims Aged 10 to 24. The VPC study found that homicide continues to be the second leading cause of death for California's youth, although there was an overall decrease in the homicide rate. In 2009, the youth homicide rate was 10.48 youth per 100,000, but dropped to 8.48 per 100,000 in 2010. For the second year in a row, Monterey County led the state in youth homicide, with 24.36 homicides per 100,000 youth in 2010. The report also found that compared to white homicide rates, black youth homicide rates are 22 times higher, Hispanic homicide rate incidents are 5 times higher. For cases in which it could be documented, the report found that 50% of black and Hispanic youth killed were murdered by a stranger. The VPC found that young men are at far higher risk of homicide than their female counterparts. 89% of all young people killed in the state are male. The report concludes that firearms are the weapon of choice for most youth homicides and recommends, quote, effective violence preventing strategies must include measures that prioritize preventing youth and young adults from accessing firearms, especially handguns. Joining me on the phone now is the Violence Policy Center's Executive Director, Josh Sugarman. Welcome to Uprising, Josh.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Billy P. Weiss, who is the MPH Department of Epidemiology at the UCLA School of Public Health. Welcome to Uprising, Billy.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, Josh Sugarman, first, is it not a optimistic sign that overall homicide rates are decreasing? And if so, what does that say about how these rates have gone down?
It's a very optimistic sign. And what we found in our study was that of the top 10 counties, six of their rates had actually decreased in the prior year. This is the second year that we've done the study. And what we found, which is very interesting to us, is looking at some of the news coverage of the study, a constant theme emerges in each of the counties, and that's there's a collaborative approach involving law enforcement, local policymakers, community organizations, and members working together to decrease violence, especially among youth. And so taken together, yes, there was a lot of positive to be found in this study, but unfortunately it still remains a severe problem for youth in California.
How does California compare to other states, Billy?
I actually don't have those data right now. Mm-hmm. Josh may know that. California generally has been quite high, but in the last 10, 15 years, my impression is that California has settled back into the pack down at about 26 or 27. Josh, you may have...
Josh?
Well, if you look at California compared to other states overall, and if you look at for gun death as a total, these numbers are a little bit older, and I can pull them up as we're talking. Generally, California tends to be fairly low. And looking at gun death in California for the year 2008, the overall rate was 8.67 per 100,000. And that ranked them 38th in the country. But that's overall gun death, homicides, suicides, unintentional shootings. But what it does make clear is that we believe that the comprehensive nature of California's gun laws and the relatively low gun ownership rates in California are having a real effect.
And Billy Weiss, let's talk about what are some of these very specific things that are done here in Los Angeles, in L.A. County, that have led to reductions in youth violence.
In Los Angeles, we have some unique programs going on. We have had a collaborative effort going on for the past 10 or 15 years in Los Angeles with community-based agencies working together, working with city and county programs as well as faith-based programming. In the past almost 6 years now, we've also had a gang intervention program run by the city, which is really based on a report that was done earlier in the decade, showing that gang violence really is the major cause of youth homicide rates in Los Angeles. So we have a program that employs mostly former gang members, and they work on the streets doing intervention on the streets. We also have a high-risk early intervention program dealing with young people who have family members or other high-risk factors for joining gangs.
And how do you respond, Billy, to Sheriff Baca's justification or crediting of city initiatives like education-based prison programs and improved police networking as a reason why we're seeing some decrease in the homicide rates?
I'm sure that some of the education-based programming going on in the jails has been helpful. Some of those programs are actually run by interventionists and community-based organizations in collaboration with law enforcement, which is making those programs much more relevant to young people as they're coming out of the prisons. The other thing that we've had a real push on, and we're working very hard to get going in Los Angeles County right now, is greater emphasis on reentering youth, those coming out of the juvenile justice system. So, and those are educational programs as well as specific service delivery for those young people who need them.
I want to turn back to Josh Sugarman, who is also the co-author of the report Lost Youth, along with being the executive director of the Violence Policy Center. What correlation, or how do you conclude that firearms and access to firearms are one of the most important things to consider when we're looking at these homicide rates that are still quite high, even if there's an overall decrease?
Well, as you noted in your introduction, 87% of the victims in the 10 to 24 age range were killed by firearms. So far and away, the most prevalent weapon used, unfortunately, because of guns' unique lethality. Of that percentage, three-quarters were killed with handguns. So coming from the data, and this is across the board, and we see it, you know, across the state of California, county by county, firearms are the number one means by which these homicides are being committed.
And how easy is it to access firearms, Josh?
Well, California has arguably the toughest gun laws in the country, the most comprehensive gun laws in the country. In the same way that the state is a leader on violence prevention, it's also a leader in firearm regulation. Having said that, California is not an island, and you have trafficking into the state from other regions of the country, other states with far more lax regulation of firearms. And on top of that, you still have, obviously, legal firearms that are being used in homicide, suicide, and unintentional injuries.
So you're saying that even if California were to have, even though California has these tough laws, the fact that there are not strong enough or strict enough federal laws in place or strict enough laws in other states, it enables somebody to just drive in guns from Texas, Arizona, et cetera?
Correct. What's most striking is that if you look at overall gun death rate in this country, and this is year in and year out, the states with the toughest gun laws, primarily California and states on the East Coast, starting in Massachusetts and going down all the way to Maryland, have the lowest overall gun death rates. The states with the most lax gun laws, higher rates of gun ownership, have the highest rates of gun death. And what's striking is that when you look at them, it's the, for lack of a better phrase, the pro-gun states with the highest gun death rates that they say, you know, when you ask them about it, say, you know, we know guns, we respect guns. And they're literally shocked when you explain to them, well, you have the highest gun death rates, because it goes against all their beliefs regarding firearms and gun possession, gun ownership.
And it was last December during the holiday season, there was, I understand, the highest number of guns purchased in a holiday season than in many, many years. Let's talk. I want to go back to Billy Weiss and ask you about the way in which we see other policies affecting youth violence, particularly juvenile justice, the juvenile justice system here. California's prison system has been under a lot of scrutiny in recent years. How do the conditions within juvenile facilities, prison facilities, affect rates of violence among young people in California?
Well, they affect, for the most part, they have been affecting them negatively. Young people in, that are incarcerated often become involved in gang activity if they were not before they got in order for preservation inside these institutions. It's been very interesting to watch, for example, Massachusetts some years ago had a policy where they turned all their young people out of their institutions and put them on the streets with maximum supervision from probation officers as well as and put them in touch with community-based agencies, and they participated in community programs. Their gang problem is very different than ours. Their gang members didn't have the chance to mesh together like ours have. We also have entrenched gang families here in Los Angeles, which makes it very difficult. So the real push in the last few years is to bring community-based agencies into the juvenile justice system as the young people are going in so that they get ongoing support and learn alternatives to violence inside the institutions with good program planning for when they come back out on the streets and support services. That seems to have been very helpful. The problem has been that our juvenile justice systems have been so overcrowded and so understaffed and with so many systemic problems that it's been difficult to really sort out and get a good evaluation on how much impact that's the community-based programming inside the institutions has had.
Well, I want to finally ask both of you to give your recommendations for what you think will further reduce the numbers of homicide rates, not just in L.A. County, but statewide. Josh Sugarman, first, I'm assuming that you might be backing greater, stronger gun laws statewide, but also federally?
Well, of course, federal laws need to be tightened to protect states like California that have comprehensive gun laws and recognize the link between firearms availability and higher rates of lethality. I think one thing that comes out of this study, which we plan to do next year and the year after, is that there needs to be a continued focus on local solutions involving communities, involving all aspects of a community, from local communities to counties. But I think also what comes out of it is a recognition that California is making tremendous progress, and California is really a leader in violence prevention. I think many other states could look to California to start addressing their own issues of youth violence in particular and gun violence in general.
And, Josh, where can listeners download the report that you've co-authored?
The report is located at the Violence Policy Center's website, which is www.vpc.org.
That's vpc.org. We'll link to that. Billy Weiss, your recommendations briefly.
Well, I would agree with Josh. And while we have been very successful in passing good gun, federal, local gun legislation and state legislation in California, we do need to work to assure that our state does not become so impacted by our surrounding states that we have more guns flooding into this state than we have now. I also think that while we have very good community-based programming and we have good collaboration right now, all of this programming is in danger because of funding issues.
Right. And, of course, we continue to cover those sorts of issues. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to thank you very much, Billy Weiss, for joining us today. Billy Weiss is with the Department of Epidemiology at the UCLA School of Public Health. Josh Sugarman, Executive Director of the Violence Policy Center. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, Chris Hedges once said, "Violence is a disease that corrupts all who use it, regardless of the cause."